reaching out to Spanish people. And, you know, I never get tired of just seeing the Lord just do ridiculous things. When I say ridiculous, I don't mean stupid. I just mean it's just like blows your mind. So let me just give you one testimony. You may have seen it if you're a fan of Yinka's Facebook feed. But it's probably my favorite testimony of the week. Is that the lady who was doing the broadcasting, she had been on a course with another lady who she'd got to know. And she got kind of friendly and built some relationship with. And one evening, this lady and her husband are driving their car down the road near where we were meeting for the missions in the evening. And the car broke down. And so they got out of the car, and then they got distracted. So they called for the breakdown people. Then they got distracted by this meeting that was happening in a square about, I don't know, 150, 200 meters away. We could hear the noise, which was all of us just worshiping and just loving God and just amazing environment. And so they came over to see what was going on. And her husband was already a Christian. And so she comes along to the meeting in the square, leaving their broken down car on the road, and then came over. And when the offer was given for people to give their lives to Jesus, she came forward in tears and gave her life to the Lord. And I could see her husband was just there holding her. And it was just incredible, you know, that God will use anything. You know, if a car needs breaking down, he'll do it. Don't know how he does it, but he manages. Whether he's kind of got angel mechanics or something like this, who knows? But that was one of my favorite. I've got to say though, the young people, and I've been praying since our young people went to Satellites on Friday. Because the young people in Las Palmas, they were on fire for Jesus. I mean, they were our outreach team every single day on the streets. Night number one, we were training all of the leaders who were going to be leading bits throughout the mission. But the vast majority of those that we were training were youth, probably between the age of 13 and 18. And on that very first night, 21 people, we went out onto the streets for an hour. And of course, we know this in this church. We know this. We know that if we go out and tell people about Jesus, people are going to come to know him. Because you can't preach the gospel and the gospel not bear fruit. You can't. Because the gospel is the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And these young people, nervous, they were nervous, but they came out, and it just took a little bit of coaching to show them, this is how you approach somebody, this is how you can share, and within minutes, we were meant to be looking out for them. We were meant to, they just disappeared. I stood, when I got back to the church at the end, I was stood there for 10, 15 minutes going, where are they? Please come back. Because I'm meant to have been responsible for you, but the Lord brought them back, which was great. But of those 21 people that gave their lives to Jesus that evening, 20 of them were led to him by young people. 20 of them. And I know it was 20 because I was the other one. So, so it's 20 of them led someone to the, and it just carried on for, and this, and these kids, these young people, they were leading Muslims to Jesus. Day number two, one of them led a Muslim to Christ. Just had the determination to sit in there and say, no, I'm going to share the gospel with you. Not get into an argument, but share the gospel because it's powerful and see what God will do. And so it was just amazing. So we just thank God for our first launch festival, our first Turning Launch Festival. There's going to be another one in South Africa in September. And then there's one coming to Wales, hallelujah, next year. Yeah. So we're excited to get these launch festivals off the ground. None of this is my word. I just thought I'd share it with you. So we're going to do something different throughout August, something we actually don't usually do. We're going to take a book of the Bible and go all the way through it. And we are going through Philippians. So, Philippians, it's useful. There's four chapters and we've got 4 weeks, so that works. This is an opportunity to actually dig through a whole book of the Bible in the next 4 weeks and just milk it for everything it's worth. So I want to encourage you right now. We're here at the start of August. You've got a whole month to read it, to reread it. You've got a month to take the verses that God really speaks to you about and just write them down in your journal, or keep them in your wallet, or tap them into your phone and look at them and then look at them again. Because this is an incredible letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. So I thought, just because it's day one, I'd give you some useful information. Does everyone like useful information? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Useful information. So where's Philippi? So Philippi, you can see, is just there. It's kind of what is in now northeastern Greece. Okay, so that's where Philippi was. And you can see around there you've got other churches that we know that Paul wrote letters to. So the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, Thessalonians. So you can kind of see how big an area in a very short space of time. You know, remember, this is the ancient world. And in a very short space of time, Paul and the other apostles managed to go and start all of these different churches. So the thing to know about Philippians is Paul is writing to a church that he planted. Okay, so he's writing to a church that he's got relationship with. He knows the people that he's writing to. And he's got good relationship with the church. And I'll tell you why that we know he's got good relationship with the church. It's because sometimes in his letters, Paul starts with this: I'm Paul, this is my ministry, this is what I've done, these are my credentials. With this letter, he doesn't start like that. It's a relationship. The church there, they know him, they love him, they've been supporting him, they've actually supported him financially. So you understand from the letter that they supported him financially, not just in Philippi, but actually to go and work in other churches as well. And they were a church that was not just concerned with themselves. And so you can kind of tell that the DNA, you know, we've got a DNA course that we run as a church. And we hope that when people do the DNA course, they really get to understand who we are. They get to understand this is what we're about. This is the things we do. And Paul writes through the letter some of those things that this church is known for. They're known for giving. They're known for supporting God's work. You know, we've had a focus on tithing for the past few weeks. And this is one of the reasons why we believe as a church it's good to give, is because actually the New Testament church, they gave, they supported, they sowed seed, not just for themselves as their church, but for other churches as well. Little bit more about Philippi, if you want to know. It was a Roman colony. So it was kind of Rome away from Rome. So the big Roman colony. So if you went there, for Roman citizens, it would have been like walking into a little piece of Rome. It would have had Roman laws, Roman architecture. Roman citizenship was valuable in the ancient world. Because if you were a Roman citizen, you got a whole bunch of protection that other people didn't. And Roman citizenship was, it was valued by those that had it. They're like, I'm a Roman citizen. I mean, Paul even used it to kind of get himself out of trouble a couple of times. You know, you're beating up a Roman citizen here. Oh, no. We've made a mistake. We can't do that to Roman citizens. Paul used it to his advantage. But it was sought after. You know, people that weren't Roman citizens, they really wanted to be Roman citizens. And so later on in the letter, when Paul starts talking about where our citizenship is, that's not this week, that's another week. But when he starts talking about where our citizenship is, he was trying to get across to this church. You know, yes, a lot of you are Roman citizens, and that gives you all sorts of wonderful things, but your actual citizenship is in heaven. So as we go through this letter over the next few weeks, you know, let's really be thinking about, where are we called to? Who are we called to? Why are we called? It's not because we're anything special. And actually, we know that brothers and sisters across the world, including where a lot of you are from, are actually oppressed and not able to have the same freedoms that we have in being able to share the gospel. And that's the other thing that this letter is about. This letter is clearly about Paul encouraging the Philippians, share the gospel. Talk about Jesus. I talk about Jesus, so you should talk about Jesus. Follow my example. Talk about Jesus. His is the name that is we need to proclaim. His is the name that we need to talk about. You know, so when we get these amazing opportunities as the gate to go and do these evangelistic festivals, or just in your day-to-day, wherever you are called. God calls you to talk about Jesus. He calls you to talk about Christ. Some of you have to be careful in how you do that, but it can be done, and God will open doors for you. So we're going to read just a few verses. I haven't got time to go through the whole chapter today. So we're going to read from verse 3 through to verse 11. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles, open them up. But it is on the screen. So Philippians 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. So just one more thing that I should... So Paul is writing this letter from prison. Now, most scholars think that he's writing from the prison in Rome, but actually it could be because he was also in prison in other places like Ephesus. So there's a slim chance it could be Ephesus, but it's more than likely Rome that he's writing from. That's why he talks about being in chains, because he's actually a prisoner. So let's just dig through some of these verses. So start again at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So why is Paul joyful? Why is his heart full of joy? It's full of joy because he's writing to a group of people that have been actively involved in what is most important to him above everything else, and that's proclaiming Jesus Christ. And he uses this word, fellowship. Now, in other versions it says partnership, but the actual root word there means fellowship. And this is like, so point number one, if you want to write down number one and say, this is what Gareth said. Point number one is that when we talk about fellowship as a church, what often are we thinking about? Are we thinking about going out and sharing Jesus? Or when we talk about fellowship in a church context, are we talking about, oh, I'm going to go and get to know some people better. I'm going to deepen relationships with people around me. I'm gonna go and get my needs taken care of in a place where people know what's going on in my life. Now, that's all good. But actually, when we're talking about what fellowship means in Scripture, when Paul talks about fellowship, he's talking about proclaiming Christ. He's talking about sharing Jesus. Now, in our church, we have something called connect groups, don't we? Who's in a connect group in the church? A large number. If you're not in a connect group, I'd encourage you to get into one, okay? Because the connect groups at the gate, they're, you know, other places would call them small groups or home groups or even perhaps cell groups. But they are the backbone to the church. And the reason is that we are, I mean, we're now a church of around 300 adults. Now, you guys, you know me, because I stand here and people say the name Gareth from the platform. So it's easy for you to know who I am, because I'm a part of the leadership in the church. And, you know, and the name Gareth or the name Mabel or the name Joanna, they get talked about in the church context because we're working for the church and we're doing different things for the church. But actually, for the majority of you, if you even tried to get to know every single person in the church, imagine how hard that would be. Imagine how difficult it would be to actually build relationship, fellowship with every single person across the gate. I mean, I can kind of get to around 30 people. I know this about myself. 30 people and knowing everyone's name. I can do that. If we're going to get beyond 30 people and I'm still having to learn people's names, Gareth is going to struggle. So, you know, and it's highly embarrassing sometimes because people come up to me and go, hey, great to see you, Gareth. I'm thinking, it's good to see you too, but I don't know who you are. Because you can only do personal relationship, intimate relationship with a small group of people. And for us, that's connect groups. And so Paul is writing a letter to this church in Philippi, where there are groups of people who he understands he's in fellowship, in relationship with, and he wants to encourage them, and his heart is for them, and he's praying for them. And these are all amazing things that we should be doing within our connect groups, loving one another, kind of knowing what's going on in different people's lives, knowing how we can pray, what we can be praying for. But that doesn't change the emphasis that according to Philippians and according to what Paul is writing, our main focus should always be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so my encouragement to us this summer as we think about connect groups going into September is what's your connect group going to do to preach the gospel? What's your connect group going to do to preach Christ? Because that seems to be an amazing emphasis in this letter. Let's think about this community here, Sindlesham. So we are now just about to celebrate a two-year anniversary. I'm looking at Joanna. 2 years, yes, I'm right. 2 years. 2 years ago, there was a small group of people, about 15. And they were basically like a connect group. And in their connect group, and it was Joanna was in it, and Mabel was in it, and Yinka was in it, and Janet was in it, and Jane was in it, and Thomas was in it. That group of people could have met here and gone, right, we're just going to build a relationship, we're going to look after each other's needs and make sure each other's okay, and we'll read the Bible, because that's good to do, read the Bible, get filled upon on God's word. It's all good. But actually what they made their priority was we're going to share Christ. And because they did that, just have a look around the room. Go on, have a quick look around the room. All of you are here because that group took on the preaching of the gospel as part of their identity. And everything that's grown here, I mean, God's blessed it, no question. We were not expecting as many people to come as came as quickly as they did. But because that group said, we're going to preach the gospel, we're going to share Jesus with people, this community blossomed and just grew into the amazing people that are in this room right now, from all nations, from all sorts of places. It's just absolutely wonderful. So moving on. Paul then goes on to talk about being confident. What is he confident about? He's confident that he, God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul's writing that there's a lot of confidence in this letter. You know, there's other letters where Paul is kind of giving instruction and just, please follow this instruction. And I kind of see him sort of sat there thinking, please let them do what I say. Please let them follow this advice, Lord. I know that they can break through. I know that they can do it, but they've got to change their behavior. This letter, Paul's writing with confidence. And the confidence that he has is not in the church themselves, but in God who is in each of them. And he says here, I mean, this is one of the verses that we often throw out, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. But it's the truth. Paul's writing with a confidence from understanding that God always finishes what he starts. God, once he sets out to do something, he'll get it done. So whenever God purposed that he was going to create the world was going to be created. And he spoke, and it was done. The Bible says that he's been thinking about each one of you since before the foundation of the world. It's no accident that you were born at the moment you were born. There's no accidents in this room. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not here just by chance. You're here because God purposed you to be born into the world at this moment in history, and he has good works that he's planned in advance for you to do. And what he finished, what he starts, he will finish. So Paul's writing to a church that number one preaches the gospel, but number two, he believes about this church that anything that they do as individuals or collectively as a church, they are going to break through and they're going to get done. But not because of them, but because of God in them. And this is where the Christian life can get so exciting. Because our Christian life is not just about coming to worship God on a Sunday together. That in itself is a beautiful experience. Gathering together with other believers to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. But actually, for each of us, the greater thing that comes from our gathering together and from our worship and from our encouragement of each other is that we get to see one another break through. God has a plan for you. He's got a purpose for your life. He has got things that he says, if I get to start what I want to start in your life, he's going to bring it to completion. He's going to see it finished. He's going to get it done. It's not about what, I mean, he puts abilities and skills. You know, we're all born with gifts. You were born with a gift. Whether it's musical, whether it's the ability to, I mean, I envy anybody that calculates numbers in their head really, really quickly. I envy it. Because it makes my head hurt. So, you know, people give me sums to do. I'm like, ah. You know, I'll get there. But it's going to take me a little while to do it. Whether there's some people who's like, oh, it's that. I'm like, how can you do this? How is this possible? But God put it in you that you would be somebody that gets to be able just to process these things really, really quickly, to work out solutions really, really quickly. It's part of your makeup. It's part of who you are. But then there's others, you know, that they'll kind of, that can do that, that then when it comes to being able to understand how someone's feeling, someone else is feeling, they're like, that's really hard for me. You know, I don't find it easy to empathize with what's going on with someone else. Where there's other people that can, I understand. I understand what's going on with you. I understand. I can feel your pain. And we need those people. We need the solution people. We need the people that can understand what's going on in relationships. We need all of it. But whatever God has given to you, whatever he's put into you, our confidence is that he will bring it to completion. He will bring his purpose to completion. He's confident. Paul is confident here as he's praying. And that's one of the beautiful things for us as a leadership team, is that when we pray with confidence. Because we know we've got a church full of people who are hungry for what Jesus wants to do in them. They want to go on these adventures with Jesus. They want to go on these journeys of the unknown where I don't quite know what's going to happen. I don't fully understand what God might do. But I believe that if I trust him, I keep his words central to my life, then there's going to be a breakthrough. Not because of me, but because of Christ in me. Our natural gifts and abilities, he gave them to us. Our ability to pray and see breakthrough, that comes through Christ. We can only talk to God because Jesus made the way for us to do it. So anything we do is because of Jesus. And you know, Paul knew Jesus. He'd had an encounter with Christ. He knew that Jesus was with him. Jesus was in him, and that Jesus would help him break through wherever he was. You know, sometimes when we need breakthrough, there are times when through the gifts that God has given us, we're able to see breakthrough. We're able to get to where we need to get to. But there's times where we just have to rely on God for the breakthrough. There was one such time in my life. So, I've shared some of my testimony before. But, you know, I smoked from the age of about 13. So I started smoking when I was about 13 years old. And I was addicted to smoke. And even after I became a Christian, the whole smoking thing did not go away. I really tried very, very hard, because I knew that it wasn't something that I should be doing. Because, you know, I started to read the Bible. I understood that the Word of God says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I was like, well, if my body's meant to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, then smoking's probably not the best idea. Because I know that it doesn't cause any good things. You know, I knew that, you know, it can have really harmful effects. But I couldn't get it done. You know, I used to try and hide it. I mean, if you've ever tried to hide the fact that you smoke, just know that everybody around you know you smoke. Okay? You can't hide it. If you're a smoker, you're going to smell of it. And I mean, I was even in positions of leadership in the church whilst I was still smoking. Not very often, but it's every so often it just it'd creep back round, and then I'd have a cigarette or go and buy packets of cigarettes, and I'd have failed again. Sometimes it's only God that can deliver us from these things. And I knew this because God had already delivered me from other stuff. He'd already set me free from other stuff. But it's one of the weird things about, you know, becoming a Christian, is that we still carry on trying to get it done ourselves, when God's like, if you just let me, sort it out for you, then it will be the work of a moment. And there was a meeting that I went to, and in my heart, I was in the meeting, and I remember being in the worship time, and I remember just feeling guilty. Just, I was like, oh Lord, I know that I'm doing wrong. I'm hiding this from everybody else. I'm ashamed because I'm hiding it from everybody else. I just want to be free, Lord. I just want to be free of this. I just want to be free. And then this three guys from a different church who were in the meeting just came up and started, just they laid hand. I mean, they knew nothing about any of this. And in all honesty, I don't even think the word cigarettes or smoking was mentioned. But they just started to pray for a new level of freedom. They just started to declare freedom over my life. And I mean, some of you have like seen videos. I mean, there's not that many times in my life where I've encountered God and I've been so overcome that I've lost the ability to stand. And this was the first time that that had ever happened to me. And I just literally crumpled to the floor. Like no ability to be able to control what God was doing. Because I'd gone, I can't do this. I cannot do this. In my own strength, with my own ability to try and break through, I cannot get this done. And I just said to him, Lord, I just want to be free. And I just, something in me at that moment just gave it over to him. And I'm sure in heaven, God's like, finally. And I crumpled to the floor in a heap. And I don't know, I was down there on the floor just for 3 or 4 minutes. And I got up, and I haven't had a single cigarette since. Just God completely delivered me from years of addiction to nicotine. And in a moment, I was free. So when we think about these words, what God's purpose is in you to complete, he's going to do it. You've got to give yourself to him to be able to do it. You've got to give yourself to him so that he can set you free. There's sometimes we've got to walk the walk. You know, if we are free and we're faced with challenges, I'm not saying in every single situation of your life, God is going to miraculously just do something immediate like he did with me that day. Because there's moments in our lives where he's saying to us, I've given you the tools, use them. I've given you my word, use it. I've given you people around you to go on the journey with you. Go on that journey. There are different ways that he does things with us at different times in our lives and in different seasons. But the thing is that he has begun a good work. If you've given your life to Jesus today, there's a process that you're now in. When you gave your life to Jesus, you got saved. You're no longer going to die. Your physical body, that's going to conk out at some point. But you are no longer going to die, because the moment you close your eyes here, you will open your eyes and you will be with him. That's an assurity for you if you've accepted Jesus. But there's so much more. And Paul is writing in this letter to say, come on guys, go for it. Let God finish in you what he started, just like I believe he's going to do that in my life, just like I believe that he's going to do it with all of you. In verse 9, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Paul prays two specific things for the church. He prays that there'll be a growing love. And he prays for complete character. He prays that the character of those in the church, they will go with what he's just said, that God is going to finish what he starts in them, and that they're going to get to a place where they can actually really understand what is pure. When Paul writes excellent there, what's excellent? The actual root word is pure. What's pure? And that you might be sincere. Blameless is actually the root word, blameless. And so Paul's saying, you guys in the church, you can be pure and you can be blameless. You can actually understand what it is to live like that. And you can actually make choices as a community to live that way. And yet so often when we think of ourselves, we don't think of ourselves as pure. We don't think of ourselves as blameless. Yet that is what the word says. If we've received Christ, you're now pure and blameless. And that's the way you can choose to live. Now, you can absolutely choose to keep going back to your old self and who you were and all the mistakes of the past and everything that ever went wrong. Yeah, you can do that. But I don't know about you. I'm more up for the pure and blameless. That sounds good to me. To actually be able to, with all of you, understand what is pure. With all of you to understand what it's like to live a blameless life and to choose together to do all of those things. And that's what Paul is encouraging. And then he finishes being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. When we talk about fruit, we know that later on to the Galatians, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, all of the things that the Holy Spirit can produce in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all the things that the Spirit can do in us. But he also talks about the fruit of righteousness. And we're only righteous, and again, it comes back to where we started. We're only righteous because of Christ. Our righteousness comes from him. It is his righteousness which he's given to us. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to achieve it. Comes from Jesus. But once we have it, once it's ours, it's the place that we should live from. It's the place that we should live and have our being. It's from that place of knowing I'm righteous because of what Jesus has done. And I can stand in God's presence. Not at a distance, not far away, but actually I can come up close. The Bible says that Jesus is where? He's at the right hand of God. He's right there next to his Father. The Bible also says that we, you, are in him, in Christ. So guess where you are? You're right next to your Father. You're right next to him. And that's why we get the ability to come to our Father and say, your will be done in my life, Lord. That's how Jesus has taught me to pray, so I'm going to pray. Your will be done in my life. Your kingdom come through me. Your will be done through me on earth as it is in heaven. What's going on in heaven? I want to do that on earth. I want to do it here. Because Jesus has made a way for me. So as we go through this book of Philippians, I just want to encourage you to drink every bit of truth. Eat every bit of truth that God wants to pour into you. We've just looked at three today. There's at least three or four more that I could have chosen just from that first chapter. That our fellowship is a fellowship of preaching the gospel. That's what we're in the business of. Not just kind of feeling all cozy and nice and safe together in our church, but actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing him. That God has started something in you and he's going to finish it in Jesus' name. And that your life is going to produce the fruit of righteousness. It's going to produce fruit. Your life is going to bless others if you follow Jesus. So I just want to invite you to stand if that's okay. So I want to pray a couple of things. I know our time is gone. I just want you to close your eyes. So I just want to ask something first. And I want to ask if there's anybody here, anybody at all, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You don't know this freedom. You don't know this righteousness that you can live in. You've never experienced the forgiveness, the deliverance that comes from an old life when Jesus comes into it. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to do that today, we can pray for you right now and you can give your life to Christ. Is there anyone here? What I want you to do, if that's you, just lift up your hands. No one's seeing it because they've all got their eyes closed. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else that wants to give their life to Christ? Okay, we're going to pray together with the one person that has put their hand up. So I want you all to pray this after me, but the person that put their hand up, you're praying this for yourself. The rest of us are just with you in it. So just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus. That you came into the world. That you died for me. For the forgiveness of my sins. And I confess my sin to you today. And I thank you, Jesus, that you can wash me, you can change me, and set me free. So I receive your forgiveness into my life today. And I walk forward from this moment as a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just give God glory just for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The second thing that I want to pray for is I want to pray for deliverance. I want to pray that if you've got something, and if you want to let one of the leaders or the pastors know what it is, that's fine. It's probably good that you actually confess, if you haven't confessed, that you've got something going on in your life that you need to be free of. It's good to tell somebody. So even if you don't pray this today, I'd still tell somebody, because there's freedom There's freedom in confessing our sins to one another. Because it's no longer a burden that just you carry by yourself. It can be shared. But if you've got a long-term issue in your life, and it could be to do with pornography, it could be to do with alcohol, it could be to do with drugs, it could be to do with lots of things. But you're saying today, I want to be free of that. Lord, I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hands, or I'm not going to ask you to do that. But you know right now that you are praying for yourself, and we are standing with you for freedom. So Lord, I want to pray right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that what you begin, you are faithful to complete in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I pray for freedom to come to every issue that is being brought to you right now. I declare the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ, from his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus, just come now and bring the freedom and deliverance that only you can bring. Bring the complete and total freedom. Thank you that your word says those that Christ has set free are free indeed. And so, Lord, we just declare your freedom in this place today. We declare your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for bringing freedom. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Speak to any sickness that's in this room of any kind. I'm just going to tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. Every infirmity, we command it to go in the name of Jesus. Every long-term condition, every long-term back problem, mobility issues, arthritis, fibromyalgia, long COVID, we just declare it to go right now in Jesus' name. We say to infirmity and sickness, you have no authority here. We declare your freedom in this place, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for your truth. We thank you that you are faithful to finish what you start. And thank you that in this church, at the gate, across our community, Lord, we're going to carry on walking into freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gareth. Amazing. So I think business is done. Please do come and see Joanna or myself if you wish to discuss things.